Cast in southeastern Wisconsin, devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Valkovsky, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mike Valkovsky, along with Jamie Hall and Alana Carmichael for WDTD 91.1 HD. And this show is Education Matters. Thank you to all the listeners who have joined us this morning. It is my pleasure to introduce our two guests this morning. Jamie Hall is a junior at Bradford and volunteers with the Urban League. Alana Carmichael is a junior with Indian Trail. And she's a co-founder of the teen activist group known as Equity. Back when I was on the Kenosha Unified School Board, I always wanted to hear from the students and from the parents. From my point of view, they were the consumers of the policies written by the board and the processes put in place by administration. They had the most experience with the outcome of the executive decisions firsthand. Their feedback was invaluable for assessing the true impact of board policies and administrative processes. This is why I'm so excited that Alana and Jamie have agreed to come on the show today and give us their perspective about the status of equity in Kenosha Unified Schools. I'm just going to start to get the ball rolling, just talking about my thoughts on equity in schools. And I always go back to a little story. Years ago, there was a principal at a middle school, and he would always give us, you know, as they do, give a speech to the sixth grade parents and the students. And one of the things he would say that always got me thinking is, what is equal is not, what is fair is not always equal. And I think this is a great way to look at equity in education. Providing every student with the same access to resources is neither fair nor does it promote equity. Fairness and equity are only achieved when support and resources are tailored to the needs of each individual student. So, Alana, I kind of give you my definition of equity in education. How do you see equity in education?
I think that equity, especially in education, is definitely, it should definitely be more personalized. I see if a student is struggling, or if a student doesn't have the resources or the support that another student has, they're going to fall behind. And I feel like it's definitely the school's job and the administration's job to provide that student with everything that they need to keep up with the rest of the class. I think since school is mandatory and it's very important for, you know, the rest of your life, education is pretty much what sets you up for, you know, careers and your goals and stuff like that. That, like you said, what is equal is not always fair, but if they need a little bit more help, then they should be provided that.
Okay, so, yeah, I agree with you. I think students, schools have a duty to provide that personal education as best they can to each student to make sure that each individual student has the tools that they need to go as far as they can with their academic career. Jamie, how about you? What are your thoughts on equity in education?
Well, I think equity in education is simply just making sure that opportunities and resources are extended to everyone, to make sure that everyone at least has the opportunity to be able to succeed at the same rate. Yes, people don't always go at the same pace, but if the opportunity is there, I feel like that is what equity is in education, and that's the most important thing, is to make sure it's extended to everyone.
Okay, Jamie, so you see it as every student should have that opportunity, at least have the option to grab for that opportunity there and have the resources they need to proceed and accelerate at the pace that they can to get the most out of their academic career. Okay, I think those are both really good definitions of equity, which really is just, as I said in my opening statement, it's really about making sure that all students can succeed because they have the resources and they have the time they need, you know, from staff to get to their academic goals and to go as far as they possibly can in their development, in their academic career. So both of you being students in Kenosha Unified Schools, I would be, and I'm actually curious on how well you think your individual schools do in providing and promoting an environment of equity. If you could just tell us on a scale of 1 to 5, and then just give some thoughts on why you give the rating you did. There's no wrong answer here, but just some thoughts. And Jamie, this time we'll start with you. Let you give us your thoughts here.
I'd say probably the school is at about a 3 with equity. Okay. Simply because I feel like they put more emphasis on honors and AP students, and there's kids that are struggling in other classes or in regular classes that just need more of an opportunity to succeed. Or with the kids in AP and honors classes, if you're struggling, they're going to ignore you because you're in AP and honors classes. There's nothing much that they feel they can do to help you. So it's just a bit of a struggle, and it's not balanced because there's still people struggling without the opportunity within where they are.
All right, Jamie. So you're saying at your school, from your perspective, it feels like that they really want to push those AP students and they don't always give the attention that the other students should give or provide the resources to those. And you like to see the school shift focus and do a stronger emphasis, not neglect the AP students, but support the other students there as well, especially the ones that are maybe struggling academically and making sure we get everybody up to where they should be in their academic careers. Is that a correct way to summarize what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Alana, how about you? How would you rate your school on a scale of 1 to 5?
I would also give it a 3. I think that in the same way, it's kind of like you do see the AP students getting a little bit more attention, but I also do think punishment and like reprimanding also goes with it because there usually isn't a very fair way to punish the students. It's never consistent. And I think that consistency, especially among high school students with both academics and punishment, it's really important because then they understand the structure, I guess, and they have that structure to not only be able to push themselves and know that the administration and that the teachers will be helping them if they need it, but that also they're being treated just as fair as any of the other students. And that's mostly for the Black and the Brown students who get punished a little bit more, a little unfairly than, our white peers. I think that that is definitely also something that contributes to the equity within the school system and within my school, especially.
And Alana, I think that's a very interesting statement that you don't think the punishment is consistent or fairly, and it may land more heavily on students of color. Could either one of you give some thoughts on why you think that is, just from what you observed, or why do you think maybe students of color get disciplined more often than their white peers do?
Yeah, I think that it starts definitely with racial profiling. You have a lot of teachers who have never had to deal with either so many minorities or I guess they've never been around or had to teach so many minorities. So honestly, it could just be that they are inexperienced, but I do believe that it's mostly because they don't understand that a lot of students of color have different ways of communicating. Black people, at least my friends and I, were very lively and we're very loud. And when we get excited, we're like, you'll know we're excited. And it's like little things like that, that might, that I guess that like, they wouldn't be like comfortable with. And so they take everything, like they take every emotion, I feel like, and they amplify it. So when you do something bad, it's really bad. And I think that's where the punishment and the excessive punishment definitely comes from. It's like the lack of understanding of different forms of communication.
So what I'm hearing is you're thinking that teachers who might not be of color don't necessarily understand the cultures. And there's a lot of different cultures, I'm sure, at these schools, as we're a minority district now. They may not understand the cultures and, like you said, how they communicate and how they verbalize and what they see as acting out and being disrespectful is actually just a way that, as you said, Black students will communicate with each other. So we just need, it would be beneficial probably if the staff had more cultural training just to understand these differences so that they would better understand how different populations in the students at these schools communicate with each other and socialize and just be a little more sympathetic of the fact that maybe, like you said, maybe you get it loud sometimes and maybe you get a little animated, but it's just part of who you are and you're not trying to disrespect the teacher or disrupt the classroom. Is that a fair way of saying what you were describing to us? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Okay. Jamie, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. I think exactly what Alana said. It's the way that it's just not understood. And instead of taking the time to understand it, a lot of teachers just like to jump to conclusions and automatically view things as disrespect. But it's not equal or fair because there could be a white child in the classroom doing the exact same thing, but the minority student will get reprimanded immediately, get in trouble immediately for the same thing. And like she said, it just starts with racially profiling and prejudice. And yeah, it would definitely... Cultural training needs to be put in place, and it also needs to just, you know, teachers just need to take a step back and ask themselves, you know, are they being disrespectful? If this was somebody else, would I send them down for this? Why am I sending them down or writing them up for something that's so small if it's not that big of an issue? And if you can differentiate what they're doing is disrespect from them just being this way just because you're being prejudiced towards them, then that's when the reprimand should occur. But if it's not differentiated, then there's a problem and it needs to be looked at and questioned.
So, one thing I'm thinking about, is this a problem that you would say, or yeah, we'll say it's a problem with all the teachers, some of the teachers, the majority? Could you give us just a feeling, like, do you think it's across everywhere or is it just specific teachers who do this?
It's not just specific teachers, but I'd say it's a lot of them. Okay. I can't pinpoint specific ones and I can't say all of them, but there is a lot of teachers that do it. And most of the time it seems unconscious, but it's still a majority of the teachers do that.
Okay. So it seems to be something that's in maybe in the culture of the school, possibly from the leadership of the school. I don't know how the administrators treat the students of color. And you're saying like that whole organization, that whole building needs to go through this cultural training and get a better understanding of people of colors and their and their cultures and just how they communicate and how they express themselves. And and just really understand they're not trying to be disrespectful. They're actually probably excited to be at school, and they're just excited to be there, and they're just expressing their emotions.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to move on, but just kind of run along what we're talking about. Do you think that some of the groups of students besides the AP get preferential treatment, and do you think others don't get or are not getting the access to resources that some of these AP students are?
Yes, I think there is preferential treatment not only with the class level, but also with the students inside of the class. There, inside of the classes, there are kids that minority students who will have questions will be completely ignored by the teacher. But their friend that's not a minority can have the exact same question, and the teacher will run over and answer their question. We both had the same question, but one of us didn't get the answer simply because, I don't know, prejudice, racially profiling. There's just a lot of opportunities within the classroom that you're in the same class, yes, but minority students aren't handed first. Because of the way the teachers are. The preferential treatment is not only from class level, but it's also within the class. So no matter what class you're in, it's still going to feel like you're at a disadvantage if you're a minority student.
And Alana, is this how been your experience as well at your school?
Yes, I think specifically, though, sometimes it could just be the lack of people of color in an advanced class. If there's only so many resources being handed to students of color, then only so many of them can be in those classes. And then without, you know, the students in those classes, teachers don't get the experience of working with them. And then working with them can be a little bit can be different, which can be seen as a challenge to some teachers. And then I think it kind of just, it starts collectively becoming a little bit more and more hostile with this teacher and the student, or with this teacher and the student, because, you know, they've never interacted with each other in that way. So I do think, yeah, it definitely happens from like class level to class level, but it's also a result of just like a higher form of discrimination.
Now, you know, when we talk about AP classes, that I have two adult kids and one 12-year-old. I know that kind of prepping for AP classes happens at a younger age, and they just get acknowledged by their teachers, you know, as they go up through the schools, that they have, that they're a fast learner, or they're, as we used to say, a high flyer. And they get selected. But do you think there are issues that maybe that these things that you've talked about are also keeping them from recognizing students of color as being these high flyers, because maybe they see them as more disruptive, but they're not seeing that hard worker or that high flyer super achiever behind that student who is, you know, being very vocal and being very active?
Yeah, Jamie, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. All right, yeah, you can jump in. You can jump in.
I think definitely children, specifically Black children, they learn from, you know, what they see at home. And so if their siblings and their parents are lively and talkative and express themselves in a specific way, they're going to mimic that. And when children mimic anything, usually it's a little bit more intense because they're kids, they have energy, they're learning new things. And so, yeah, I think that disruptive kids, I've noticed a lot, because I also help before COVID, I used to help my mom at EPSOLA. I noticed that a lot of the disruptive kids are equally as smart and equally as high achieving, but because they, I guess, show behaviors of disruptiveness within their communication style, it can definitely be overlooked.
This is Mike Flakuski, and you're listening to WGTD 91.1 HD, Education Matters, and we are here with Jamie Hall and Alana Carmichael. Okay, so just came back to what we were talking about before that break. So you're saying this cultural training needs to happen at all the levels, so starting, you know, from pre-K on up, and so that KUSD or Kenosha Unified staff understands these cultures and doesn't put them in a bucket as a disruptive student or as a problem student. Instead, recognizes every student to their full potential and makes sure that everyone can get to that level that they're capable of performing at. Jamie, go ahead, Alana. Jamie, what are your thoughts on early education and the impact that maybe students get pushed to the side or not recognized for these high achieving be based on their behavior?
I feel like with the students that are labeled problem children early and the ones that constantly get in trouble from a young age, they start getting discouraged. Whether they are extremely smart or not, at some point, continuing to be labeled as a problem child every time you go to school just for the way that you communicate because you know no other way, you're going to get discouraged and you're not going to want to try in the classroom anymore because all you're going to do is get labeled and kicked out again. So I think the labeling and from pre-K all the way up until maybe like middle school is when students start to drop off. And the students that should be in AP classes, advanced classes, because of their ability, don't get that opportunity because they don't want it anymore. And they become just the smart child that you never know about because they've been discouraged all that time up until that point.
So you feel by the time they get to that level, they're disenfranchised, or they've had a negative experience at school, so they no longer feel engaged at school and probably become higher risk for dropping out or not being a student getting good grades, just a student that's just flying under the radar because they just don't want to get attention?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't mind me getting a little personal, I would just be interested to hear any stories about how this has impacted maybe you personally or any of your friends, like where you think they could have had an opportunity, but the lack of equity, they did not get that opportunity they should have had. Jamie, you can go ahead and field that one.
Well, I know personally that there's been kids that I know that have wanted to do like advanced classes, and they, especially this year, in last year, they decided not to because in years past, the teacher wouldn't, you know, just pick at them about any and everything that they did in the classroom. And they just didn't have it in them to continue to try to be in accelerated courses, because if that's what the teacher is going to do, why be bothered with it when they can go down to a different level class if the teacher's not going to do that? Because it's not like the teacher did that to everyone in the class. They just picked one or two people to bother about every day with their work and their grades, no matter if they were good or bad. For me personally, it hasn't necessarily affected me to like discourage me or anything, but there have been times when teachers would ask me questions like, are you supposed to be in this class? Are you sure? You know, without, like at the beginning of the school year, without actually knowing or seeing how I am. So it's definitely something that is very current and very real and happens very often.
Yeah, that has to be really discouraging when the authority figure, the teacher, says something like, are you supposed to be in this class? I mean, that would make me feel pretty bad, especially, you know, back when I was that age. So yeah, I can definitely see why that would be a barrier. And I'm sorry that happened to you. That should not happen to any student. Alana, how about you? Do you have any stories about you or your friends who may not have had the opportunities they should have had based on this discrimination?
Yeah, so when I was a sophomore, a lot of the juniors had this specific teacher. I don't really remember her name, but every time we would talk about her, it was always like, did she like kick you out of class, or was she being like, we just knew her as the teacher who would kind of pick on the minority kids. And so a lot of the times people didn't really understand why kids were so hesitant to join her class and so hesitant to you know, speak out in front of her. And it was because she was known for being a little bit discriminatory. And so since I'm a junior, I haven't had her class, or I'm not even in school to have her class. And so just seeing the difference between the juniors who are here and where I'm at now, it's kind of a really stark difference, because they just knew of the teachers who would make the most problems for them.
Now, as a student, do you feel that you have a comfortable way to go to a counselor or a principal and tell them that you feel like you've been discriminated against by a teacher, or is it just something that you just have to keep to yourself or talk to your friends about? Do you feel like the school or the system has tools to help you, or do you just feel like the school doesn't care?
I think that it's a very sensitive subject, especially now, because before, like, the students would just talk amongst ourselves and we would just talk about, oh, they said this and they said that. And a lot of it, I think, is because people don't really understand that, comments and stuff, I guess, when you're uncomfortable in a class, how it can really actually affect you more than your peers know, because they've never had to experience it on such, an intense basis. And so when things like that do happen, I'd say now, people would probably be more comfortable going to administration or going to our principal. But when I was a freshman and a sophomore, it was definitely not something you really did. It was definitely just, you know, centralized within the community and within your friend group.
And what do you think has changed to make that be a more open conversation, that you feel like you can go to a counselor or your principal and tell them about how you felt you were discriminated against by a teacher?
I think definitely the Black Lives Matter movement within Kenosha has definitely done it. I know, before Jacob Blake was shot, there was a lot of protests going on for George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. But when it came really close to home, it was a little bit more eye-opening, and kids were more comfortable talking about a shared experience. Most, if not all, Black children above the age of 12 have probably experienced a blatant form of racism. And since originally we were never talking about it, there was no comfortable way to bring it up. But now that people are more open with it, and people are more, I think, equipped to handle situations, not only scholastically, but emotionally, people will be more comfortable speaking up.
And with the change since the Blake shooting, do you feel positive about the future? Do you feel like this momentum is going to keep going and things are going to get better, and maybe at some point discrimination will be much, much less of an issue at your school and in society as general?
I think that it's definitely shed a light on the topic. I think children who are raised in racist homes are only going to know how to be racist. And so if we are trying to, like, you know, squash discrimination like 100%, it's not going to happen, especially since kids learn from home. But I think the best way to combat it is to start teaching about these topics when they're really young, in like preschool, kindergarten, first, second, like when they're really young, so that they aren't just being fed racist narratives and discrimination from their parents, but they get a real life look and a real life view within some of their classmates' lives.
Yeah, I agree. I think the light of knowledge can definitely extinguish some of this darkness of racism, but we have to educate people at a young age so it's reinforced and they understand. And I think that's one of the benefits of Kenosha Unified, is that all different groups of students, you know, Latino, the Hispanic, the Blacks, whites, are all together in schools, and they get a chance to see different cultures and really learn from each other. So hopefully things will get better in the future. How about you, Jamie? Have you seen things getting better since the Jacob Blake shooting?
I have. I feel like Alana said, it's more comfortable to talk about the issues, because before that, it wasn't comfortable, and it only be accepted to talk about if it were a blatant issue that more than one or two people felt something about. It had to affect a mass of people for it to be something digestible for a lot of people to talk about. Now, it doesn't need to be that digestible for people to understand that, hey, this needs to happen, this needs to change, because that was extremely wrong and extremely out of line. So yeah, things definitely have improved since it hit as close to home as it did.
Okay. This is Mike Volkowski, and you are listening to WGTD 9.1 HD, Education Matters, and we are here with Jamie Hall and Alana Carmichael. All right. I'd just like to shift the conversation back to Kenosha Unified. And Jamie, I'll start with you. If you could approach the superintendent or the school board, what would you tell them? You know, if you could get up and they gave you as much time as you needed, what would you say to them to improve equity in the schools in Kenosha Unified?
I'd say to start with, hire more minority teachers, not minority faculty members, because though hiring more minorities in general is a good step, we need more minority teachers to be in the classrooms with students, because I feel like it's more, a teacher's more approachable because they're more available. If you have an issue or something that you want to get, that you want to get out, you'll go to a teacher because you know that they're always, most of the time, going to be right there in their classroom. You don't have to seek them out or have somebody call down for them to find them. I think just because teachers interact with the students more, it'd be just better for everyone to feel equal and for the equity to happen if we did have more minority teachers in the classrooms with the students.
I agree, Jamie. And I know when I was on the board, we were always told that it didn't get a lot of minority teacher applicants. And for me, it was always, they just need to cast a bigger net. They need to, try to pull people out of Milwaukee or Chicago or other schools that have more minority teachers and get them interested in coming to Kenosha Unified. So that way, when they have their pool of applicants, there's a higher number of minority teachers in that pool, and there's a higher chance that one of those teachers would be selected from that pool of applicants. That was just one of my thoughts from when I was on the school board, something, a change I would like to see. How about you, Alana? If you could get up in front of the school board and the superintendent, what would be your suggestion to improve equity in Kenosha Unified School District?
I agree a lot with Jamie. I think minority teachers are so important, especially when it comes to representation, like within real life. I know we talk a lot about representation in media, but when you go to school and all you see is white teachers, white coaches, stuff like that, you kind of lose a sense of where you belong. And I know definitely, as someone who like doesn't really know what they want to do when they grow up, searching for things that like you're really passionate about and not seeing any like anyone that looks like you can be really discouraging. So I think definitely minority teachers, obviously like racial training and stuff like that, and discriminatory training, and just being more like implementing things that would make teachers more conscious of their sometimes unconscious like just discrimination.
Okay. I think that I would agree. I think more minority teachers, because they would get those, or they'd have an understanding of the cultures of some of those student populations. So that was one thing. I think the district does. I really do think the district administrators and the school board do want to see more minority teachers. I just know it's been a struggle for them. But as I said, I think they can cast a wider net and try to pull more minority applicants into their applicant pool. And also, there's not enough time. It also goes into the whole, training of teachers and making sure that we're getting minorities into the pipeline for training future teachers, so that we have more of them in general. Like I said, that would be a whole nother show to talk about that issue. In our remaining time, I know we've talked about some of the issues that Kenosha Unified has had with equity in schools, with the way students of color are treated differently from white students. What advice, or what do you think that Kenosha Unified is doing well? You both gave it a 3, so I'm assuming that you think that Kenosha Unified is doing some things right. So, Alana, we'll start with you this time. What do you think Kenosha Unified is doing right to help promote equity in schools?
I think that recently they have been very good at listening to minority voices. Before COVID pretty much kicked us out of school, I had attended a few board meetings where they did listen to minority, both staff and students, and at Indian Trail, at least, they've implemented a lot of minority-led groups, and my principal, he does come to a lot of the a lot of those groups to understand what problems the students are having, and just like the feelings the students are having within the school and stuff like that. So I do think that they have gotten a lot better with listening to the issues that the students are having.
So, Lana, when your principal comes to these groups or these meetings, do they play the role of, are they there to listen, or do they try to control the group and tell the group how they should feel, or do they listen and then provide a perspective on why things are a certain way?
They definitely listen. They are actually really good. They like to make the space as safe as possible for those minority students, because as a white administrator, a white principal, you're not going to know firsthand how those students are feeling, especially when it comes to instances like, you know, the Jacob Blake shooting. Okay, how do our young Black students feel about it? Because, you know, it is a person of their race. They've always been really good at listening, and I don't think when they provide insight, it's never about how we should feel. It's more about what they can do to help. So I think that's always really important and really good.
I think that's great. That shows a lot of leadership from that principal and really working to make those minority voices feel heard. And like you said, that's something I don't think we always saw in the past. So it's unfortunate that it took something like a shooting to get that started. But I'm glad, at least at one school, that we have a principal who's really trying to reach out to students and hear from all the students. How about you, Jamie? What would you tell Kenosha Unified that they're doing well? What would you give them a rose for, you know, or a thumbs up saying, keep doing this, you're doing a good job at this?
I think, like Alana said, just creating a lot of spaces for minority students to be able to speak and give voice their opinions and share their voice about the things that are happening around them that aren't fully school related. I know for me, we had a little discussion in theater one day, and our administrator for theater sat and listened completely, listened to us and allowed us to explain our feelings, and then took that and went with it and was able to create a space where all of us felt like we were heard and understood. And I think that's important, is making sure that after hearing the voices, that it's shown that you understood and you listened. So that's something that KSC is doing a good job at, is making sure that it's shown that they are hearing us.
So it sounds like both of you are really appreciate the fact that your schools create these safe spaces so you can decouple from the kind of get away from that whole, I know high schools can be huge environments, and they're giving you an opportunity to get in a smaller group and just say what you have to say, and then also be listened to and respected to by administrators or by a teacher. So I think that's great. I feel like what we heard here is like kind of like two sides. On one side, there we have staff that seems to have a prejudice towards students of color, and some who actually target students of color for discipline more often than they do white students. But we're also seeing a side where we have administrators and some teachers who understand that there's a lot of things going on, and they're creating spaces so that students can decompress and get things off their chests and talk about the things that are frustrating them in the school, or, you know, with the Jacob Blake shooting, even outside the school, and just letting them have a place to be honest. I think that's great. In the last minute that we have here, we just want to see, Jamie, were there any last things you wanted to say before about equity in KSD before we sign off here for the morning?
I don't think so. I think I covered it all.
Okay. How about you, Alana? Do you have any last minute things that we didn't get a chance to talk about this morning?
No, I think I covered it all too.
Okay. Well, I want to thank both Jamie and Alana, thank both of you for joining the show and for being honest, you know, and putting it out there. I don't think it's not always easy, you know, to like just say how things are. I think your courage and being honest and just saying, hey, you know, this is how the schools operate from our point of view. This is what we see. We see the prejudice sometimes. We see that students of colors aren't always getting the opportunities they should be getting. They're getting disciplined more often. And then also recognizing, you know, hey, things have changed recently and things are getting better. It doesn't mean there's not a long way to go and there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. But the fact that things are starting to look better, so I hope that students of color are feeling a little more hopeful. And then I hope these schools will, I hope Kenosha Unified as an organization will, invest in cultural training for their teachers and continue to do these positive things that are creating these safe spaces for the students of color. So again, thank you for being on the show. And this is Mike Fokuski with WGTD Education Matters.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, wgtd.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant.